This is Marketplace Tech. I'm Subri Benishore, in for Ben Johnson. The annual Scripps National Spelling Bee begins this Wednesday. Kids age 6 to 15 will spell words some of us didn't even know were in the English language. Here's last year's final round word.
G-E-S-E-L-L-S-C-H-A-F-T. Gazelle Shaft.
That is.
Congratulations!
Gazelle Shaft is a type of social relationship, and it was spelled by 11-year-old Nihar Jenga. Spelling geniuses can't get any technological help on stage, of course, but you know who does on a daily basis? The rest of us. Every day, we use autocorrect and spell check and predictive text and add to that creative spellings that come with text ease. So here's a question. Are these tools making us dumber at spelling and writing? One person who thinks about this is Michelle Druin. She's professor of psychology at Purdue University. Thanks for talking with me, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
So, autocorrect, spell check, textees, speaking in text, are these making kids dumber at spelling and writing?
There has been a lot of research on the textisms that children use and whether in the long run these are contributing to lower levels of literacy. And the research here is pretty consistent that no, it isn't. In fact, the kids who are using this inventive spelling and creative uses of words and symbols in their communication with their teenage friends are actually doing better in literacy. Huh. And the verdict on the autocorrect, that's still out. But I would say that a person needs to be a pretty good speller in order for those autocorrect features to even get enacted. So I think that we might be seeing something that it's not really having any kind of negative deficit.
So basically you're saying that kids sort of make up new spellings or make up words or speak in sort of text speak, you kind of have to be smart at language to play with language in that way.
That's what they suggest. Yeah, because the kids who are doing this a little bit more and the kids who are interacting more via text are the ones who are a little bit better in language. And then the more inventive they are, maybe the better they are at sounds and combining sounds and being creative with sounds, which would relate to spelling ability.
You know, one thing you've pointed out is that spelling quality aside, we are actually doing a lot more spelling these days as a civilization. What do you think the implications of that are?
I think that it's a good thing for language. It's a good thing for writing. We are writing more than we ever have. A lot of our interactions that used to occur face-to-face or on the phone are now occurring via text message, especially for teens and young adults. We're also getting just a lot of messages that we're ignoring or so much to sift through to get to the really important information. But in terms of language, it's a good thing. In terms of social development and interactions between human beings, again, the verdict is still out.
Michelle Druin, professor of psychology at Purdue University, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Not everywhere can be Silicon Valley. Not everywhere wants to be Silicon Valley, but cities around the country do want to be Silicon something. One of these places is Charleston, South Carolina. It has charm, palm trees, a lot of history. It also wants more high-paying jobs and a tech scene to supply them. And it's taken on the aspirational name of Silicon Harbor. Matthew Goff decided to set up there. He's the founder and CEO of the educational startup Echovate. Echovate helps colleges measure applicants' intangible qualities, things like grit and emotional intelligence. Matthew joins me. Matthew, did I get that about right?
Correct. So we've spent several years developing people science, which is largely based on industrial organizational psychology. And what we're able to do is really understand more of those soft skills of that individual. We're able to actually help that college or university understand, number one, is this student going to be a good fit and be successful? And let's also take, again, that holistic view and maybe recognize some things that you wouldn't normally recognize by just looking at test scores.
You were in New York before this.
Correct.
And then you chose to start Echovate in Charleston. Why?
my wife and I, and I've got two young children, and we sort of looked up and down the East Coast, and we were looking maybe for a new start somewhere, somewhere that had maybe an improved quality of life. But I also wanted to be a contributing member of that tech scene. This community is really engaged in building something really exceptional.
Are there things that Charleston has to do besides just be cute and Charleston and nice to attract more tech startups?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a couple of key components. One is just the overall funding landscape. Because we're, you know, a smaller market, we don't have access to the big venture capitals that you do on Sand Hill Road or in, you know, New York City or Boston.
In 5 years, where do you think Charleston's tech scene is going to be? And do you think there are any tensions that might come along with growth?
Sure. I think in 5 years, Charleston is going to be a better version of itself, right? We're going to be more mature as a technology community. We're going to have had more exits. Like any startup community, you look at somewhere like Austin, where, you know, there's going to be infrastructure issues. You know, traffic, no doubt, is going to become heavier. And I think property values will certainly go up. The political figureheads here, they're doing some different extensions, widening some roads, doing different things like that. So it's certainly on their list.
Matthew Goff is CEO of Echovate. Thanks, Matthew, so much.
Thanks for your time.
And if you live in a city that's turning itself into a tech hub, let us know. We're mapping them at marketplace.org. You can tweet us at Marketplace Tech. I'm Sabri Benishore, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.